League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
It's that time of the year when both the leagues in India kick off. The I-League is also back in Indian football. And in this episode of Injury Time, we'll be talking a lot about that league. And then, as usual, take a look at the matches that happened in the ISL. Hey, listener, and welcome to a brand new episode of Injury Time. I'm your host, Naveen. And joining me today are two guests on a phone call. There's no one in the studio to begin with. I have Sandeep joining me, who missed the last episode from Bangalore. Hey, Sandeep.
Hello. How are you guys?
Doing good, Sandeep. How's Bangalore treating you?
Bangalore is good, man. It's getting colder day by day, so it's good.
Getting colder day by day. And I'm assuming Delhi is no less. Orko Bhattacharya joining us from Delhi. Hey, Orko.
Yeah. Hi, Naveen. Delhi is getting more polluted day by day.
Oh, it's getting polluted. It's Diwali time there, isn't it?
Yes.
All right, guys. Let's just dive right into the I-League. It kicks off on Friday, the 26th of October. Orko, a league that you claim to love the most in India, the I-League. What do you reckon? Who's winning it this time round? Is Minerva defending their title or do we have a new winner this time?
Minerva, I don't see them winning the title this time. They lost a number of players to East Bengal. I actually see a lot of dark horses this time. Churchill Brothers and Chennai City, I think, have really good squads on paper. And I think we'll be surprised by the quality they put out. So, think that this is finally Mohan Bagan's time. I'm always very skeptical about calling Mohan Bagan because for the last two times, we've seen them surprised by relatively smaller teams. But what they have now is a coach who's more of a man-manager, someone who's very, who's turned them into a very cohesive unit. And they've also won the Calcutta Football League, so they're high on confidence. So I actually called Mohan Bagan, but I won't be surprised if any of Churchill or Chennai City pull off an upset.
Well, Sandeep, do you agree to that? Two Kolkata Giants in the middle of it once again. Orko says Mohan Bagan has a really good chance of winning the title finally.
Yeah, absolutely. Even last year when we spoke, we were very clear that the only team who can beat themselves, I mean, the only reason why these two clubs can't win is if they don't do it themselves. And it seems the same way again. They've got good signings. Bagan has good foreigners also. And like Orko just said, they're high on confidence after winning the Calcutta League. So obviously, they're going to be big contenders. Then in the only small question mark for me is the signing of Norday, who's come back only recently. He's missed the preseason, so we have to see how long it will be before he can. He's coming from a big injury, so it'll take him some time to get back to the heights. But then signing that Henry Kesike from Kerala, Gokulam Kerala, seems like a very good signing because he played very well with Dipanda Dikka. So overall, I think they are just head and shoulders above everyone.
Well, Orko, that's a lot about Mohan Bagan. Or what about their neighbours from the same city, East Bengal? Do you reckon their chances of going on to win this title?
So East Bengal were an absolute disaster in the Calcutta Football League, losing two matches to unfancied opponents, and they've been taken over recently by Quest. So you would expect a bit of professionalism, but that need not necessarily translate into results on the pitch. Also, they've lost their CFL title after 8 years, so they're not exactly, like I said, they're the opposite of Bagan. They're not high on confidence right now. I do not think East Bengal will win the title. And, I mean, as you've seen many times before, they have a tendency to implode come the business end of season. So, no, I stick my neck out and say no.
Just adding on to that also, in the last year, we saw they got an I-League winning coach in and gave him kind of a short rope. And halfway through the season or towards the end of it, they had a technical director who was in the dressing room before the matches, who was conducting training sessions. I'm really not, I don't know what to say about the way that club is done, that generally run. Even generally, Kolkata clubs have, a short patience in that sense. But that last year just left a very sour taste in my mouth for some reason.
Well, guys, that about the two Kolkata teams. But unlike their cash-rich neighbors, the ISL, I-League has been spreading their wings across the country. And this time around, we have a team from Kashmir playing in the league. Real Kashmir, Orko, we know you've been you will be traveling for a few matches in Kashmir. What do you reckon their chances? How far can they go?
So, I think that's the romantic part of the I-League, that you can never predict what's going to happen. To Real Kashmir, I was speaking to Bashir from Real Kashmir, and they seem upbeat about their chances, because last time, I don't think anybody could have predicted that Meroka would enter and come second. But the girls in quality at that level, irrespective of how much you spend, is low. And I think I-League teams generally tend to go for it over their ISL counterparts. They show little fear. I mean, there are a variety of reasons for that. But my point is that, at home, if Real Kashmir can pull a decent string of results, like Meroka did, they're very strong in Imphal. If Real Kashmir can manage a good run of results in Srinagar, then they'll do well. And the good thing also for them is that because December to January, there's a lot of snow in Kashmir, what I-League's done is that they've not held any matches during that time. So all the many home matches have been pushed forward. So Real Kashmir is going to start off with a lot of home matches, which is good for them.
So, Orko, that was about Real Kashmir, the team from the north of India. But now moving down south, what are our southern neighbours saying? Gokulam, Kerala FC and Chennai City. Sandeep, what do you think their chances of winning the title, if not giving a close fight in this time's I-League?
In a manner of speaking, it's very difficult to judge I-League teams because the overhaul that happens every year is so much. So if you look at Chennai, they have lost Susai Raj, they've lost Nandakumar, they've lost Srinivas Pandyan, all the core good Indian players that they had. The foreigners I'm not getting into because the lion's share of your squad is made up of Indian players and you need those good Indian players to stick around. And the reality of the situation is, although it is the officially the first league, ISL has the bigger market. So that's where most of the players end up going. So we have to see their new coach. They have a coach, Akbar Nawaz, who's come in, who's done well in Singapore and also. He is a little Spanish-minded as well, as you would assume with every club that is hiring coaches in India. So that way, I think it'll be interesting. I really don't know how they'll shape up, but I have my doubts about how they'll be able to adjust. Kerala, on the other hand, is a little bit more of a throwback to the old days in that sense, because they tried to go the Spanish coach route by hiring Valera, and it failed spectacularly, and they have gone back to Bino George, who is a very affable man actually when you talk to him, and he has got a very uncomplicated way of thinking about football. And one of the things that they have managed to do is hold on to Arjun Jayaraj, who is their potentially their best Indian player that they have. But having said that, they have obviously lost Henry Kesike. So they need goals from somewhere. And you can expect them to play just like last year. A couple of days ago, he was talking, Bino George was talking, and he said, you can bring Pep Guardiola here for the Indian national team and he won't win matches. So he's someone who tries to get the best out of the players he has. And last year, they had a great run towards the end. So hopefully they can keep it up.
Well, guys, listening to both of you all, I reckon one thing. Come what may, this year's I-League is going to be interesting, to say the least. Well, hey, listener, if you think the same, you can always write to us. But we are not done with the I-League yet. On the other side of the short break, we'll be having more about the teams that are participating in this year's season. So stay tuned and we'll be right back.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hey listener, and welcome back to Injury Time, your one-stop shop for everything Indian football. From the south of India, where Chennai City and Gokulam Kerala FC will be participating in this season's I-League, we move to the northeast, a region Orko favors a lot. Orko, coming to you, Aizwal, Naroka, Shillong, Lajong, three teams from the northeast. How do you see their chances this time around?
Well, as you know, Naveen, my love for the northeast and the clubs is really well documented. And I've been following them for a long time now. But I'll have to say that Lajong are odds on to be relegated this time. They've gone with an Indian squad. And I have to say that also the decision might be prudent in terms of, you know, investing in the academy and producing players and getting returns. You would have to look at how it will affect the top team. And they have not done well in the Shillong Premier League also, losing to Lansing twice, 3-0. Lansing, for the record, is an I-League second division team. But they haven't looked good at all. And that's the same squad which is going to participate in the I-League. Aizawl, on the other hand, has also lost a lot of its great players, but has managed to retain a few foreigners. I don't know how they'll play, but I expect them to be somewhere there in the middle. As for Naroka, it's an interesting. Manuel Vetamirez Swile was the first coach of Aizawl in the I-League, first division. And they played a really good style of football, although not very good for results. But the play was eye-catching. And you know, Khalid Jamil actually reaped the benefits of that in his next season. So I'm expecting that Manuel will play the same way in Naroka. Under this, they were a bit rigid at times last season, but they were able to scrape results. But under Manuel, I think if they can combine the both grit and style, I actually think we might see something interesting from Naroka this time.
Well, Orko, you don't sound much optimistic of Northeast chances. I would like to ask Sandeep here. Sandeep, these are the teams with their backs to the wall have provided us with some quality football, some entertaining football over the past few seasons. Do you see them do that again this time around?
Well, again, like Orko said, my love for the Northeast team is also quite well documented. So I hope they can. In Naroka, I think they have signed Katsumi Yusa, which is like a statement signing as far as I'm concerned, because normally that the profile of the player is very high. Generally, they are the sides that bring in players who then leave and go on to be bigger players elsewhere. So it's nice to see it happen in reverse. But I have to agree with what Orko has said so far. So, you know, it's going to be difficult for them. Actually, I think it's going to be difficult for anybody to challenge the Kolkata sides, especially Mohun Bagan. Maybe on Twitter they can, but beyond that, I doubt it.
Well, I see how you're consciously making an attempt to get Orko's name right every single time you mention him. So guys, from a club making a statement by signing Katsumi Yusa to a players who want to make a statement in this time's I-League and hope for a better future for them in football, Indian Arrows and a certain Churchill Brothers, the only team from the west side of the country, who wants to take this? Orko, you or Sandeep, it's you. Who's the one?
So Naveen, there's a lot of chatter around Churchill Brothers, the fact that they've rebuilt their squad. They've actually been rebuilding the squad for 2 months before they were reinstated. So obviously this was in the pipeline. And they defeated FC Goa in a friendly recently. And trust me, it's not easy to beat FC Goa at home. I at the start of the program, I said Churchill were one of my dark horses. I stand by that. As for the Indian Arrows, I'd let Sandeep chip in. But for me, my two cents, I think Floyd Pinto's a very different coach as compared to, you know, Louis Norton de Matos. I watched Floyd Pinto's Arrows dismantle Lajong 3-0 at the Ambedkar Stadium last season. I think he's somebody who injects his players with confidence, who trusts his players, and this approach can be really fruitful or can be really disastrous. Like, you can score a lot more and you can concede a lot more at the same time. So I think they're going to be definitely more exciting.
Well, that was Orko's two cents and a little more, if I would say. Sandeep, coming to you, what do you make of Arrow's squad this time around? And they have an Indian coach, Floyd Pinto, like Orko mentioned.
Yeah, it's always nice when the Indian coach is someone leading the club, you know, from the front. I'm a big fan of that part. But as our coach just mentioned, it's the last year you saw them play a lot of the time. I remember, especially against Bagan, it was, I think, 1-1 and they lost towards the end of the game. You could see the nervousness coming through the players, the 17-year-olds who did not have much time in men's football. They played in the age group football as such. And you could just see them going back and further behind into their own box, and it looked kind of inevitable that they'd lose. So I, that 1 year that they've had and the exposure tours or whatever they've gone through, and the new under-16 players coming in who had a decent outing now, so they can all add some steel into the team. And again, like mentioned before, that Floyd Pinto, he seems to be in one of the coaches in India who has potentially has a bright future ahead of him. We already had other coaches, Viviano, who's already there, who's gone through the ranks. Now the Floyd Pinto is the next one. Hopefully he can have a good run and maybe even go into the national team in maybe 5-6 years, in 5-6 years time. As far as the team is concerned, I think they have lost few players from last season. They've gone on to the ISL teams, a few of them. So hopefully that will not deter them too much. But for sure, I expect better results than last season, for sure, absolutely.
Well, guys, that about the teams that will be participating in this time's I-League. But before I let you go, just putting you on the hot seat, who do you think is lifting that I-League trophy this time around? Sandeep, you're first.
Bagan.
Bagan for Sandeep. Orko, what do you think? Bagan is winning it or do you have some other team in mind?
Mohan Bagan with Churchill Brothers and Chennai City as dark horses for me.
Okay, that's quite a prediction there. Let's see if Bagan can finally win the title or will we see someone new this time around? Thanks a lot, guys, for joining it. Sandeep, you're staying because we are moving into ISL discussion after this break. But Orko, thanks a lot for joining us on this I-League discussion. It was great having you on the show.
Thank you, Naveen. Thank you, Sandeep, for an engaging discussion.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hey, listener, and welcome back to Injury Time, your home of Indian football. From all the I-League discussion, it's time to move on to the Indian Super League. And the matches were back after the international game week. We saw most of the teams play at least 2 games in the past few days. So let's just dive right into it, guys. So Sandeep, coming to you first, Delhi Dynamos losing to ATK first and then going on to hold Kerala Blasters in the second game 1-1. What do you make of the 2 games that you saw of Delhi Dynamos?
Obviously, Delhi has a lot of work to do. Basically, that is the first thing that comes to your mind. Considering the money they spend, considering the players they have in Mihailovic and others, they really should be doing better. To be honest, I expected them to start much better than this, because the new coach, Joseph Gambhu, who has proven credentials. But I think you have to give him some time as well, because, you know, he's a new manager coming in. People have to learn his system and all of that, because I think in the matter of speaking, we touched on this earlier, the Indian football's, you know, obsession with being kind of like Spaniards, you know, possession football, turn, touch and all these kind of things. It takes time for that to happen, so I don't expect them to do spectacular in the first season at least. Hopefully, they can do better next season. But in speaking about the game itself, Blasters game, I think Blasters probably should have won that game. Again, I don't know what that says about them, because they have managed to draw twice now in games that they should have won. I think they drew against Mumbai also before the international break. So they have a lot of work to do. And ATK, again, going hot and cold. They did well there, I know, but they drew the next match with Jamshedpur. Balwant, for the goal that he scored against Delhi Dynamos in the 2-1 win, I think the timing of that is pretty interesting, because we were just having discussions about, you know, JJ not coming out and performing like he used to, and whether as a striker, he's not someone who's involved a lot. He's great at linking up in one touch, two touch, but if you don't have the ball for long periods of time, he has this tendency to disappear from matches. So Balwant could potentially prove to be a good first choice center forward. I know he's playing a little wide now, but from that goal, which Constantine was watching from the stands, it was a great goal. Very, you know, presence of mind to cut inside and a great finish as well. And if he can continue to do that, which he did not in the very next game, maybe he will potentially be in the first starting lineup for the Asian Cup.
Well, Balwant going all guns blazing for ATK there, but that didn't help because they were held by Jamshedpur in the very next game. But the other Indian striker in the reckoning here is JJ Lalpekluwa. His team, Chennai NFC, is having a turret time, Nathan, losing to Northeast United in a high-scoring affair.
Yeah, without a doubt, that was the best game of the season so far. Chennai got out of the blocks, full guns blazing. They got a 2-goal lead in the first 10 minutes, and I thought that they had finally got out of their rut and they would turn things around. But then up stepped, you know, Bathmelo, Ogbeche. What a hat-trick that was. 10 minutes, 3. Quite brilliant finishes, I have to say. And but on the whole, Naughty deserved that result. They look a completely formidable team this year under Ilko Shatori. I think they're second to Bangalore, if I'm not mistaken, in the league table. But good for Northeast United, but plenty of problems for Chennai NFC.
Well, plenty of problems there, but the problems don't end with their defense alone. Those strikers are getting goal. It's not an Indian guy. They're a guy which we are usually used to seeing. JJ is not firing at all. Not a good news for the national team, a team that is preparing for the Asian Cup.
Yeah, I wasn't surprised to see JJ dropped for the game against Northeast. I thought Carlos Salom was fairly decent. He did contribute with the goals which Chennai scored. Toy Singh was also pretty instrumental. He scored a brace. And I think JJ was brought on during the last 20 minutes or so. And again, he failed to make an impact. He did get one decent opportunity in the last 5 minutes or so of the game. But again, he's very short on confidence. He doesn't look like his former self. And he really needs to sort things out before India play the AFC Cup in January.
Yeah, I wanted to add something on to that. Is the performances of Rowling, who has now consistently, the last three games, he's shown that he's back to what he used to be before the injury. Again, if you look at it, it is an own goal from him that was the opener for Chelsea. I'm sorry.
For Chelsea, okay. you're getting carried away by the Premier League here. Too much of Premier League happening.
So if you see the opening goal for Chennai, was an own goal from Rowling. And then for him to come back and score the winner, that shows character that he has. And he always had the legs to run in the field. That is why Constantine liked him in the first place. And he's added more creativity. He's added assists and he's had goals to his game now. So if he continues to perform like this in the next international window, if he's not in the team, it's a travesty.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Well, one guy who's definitely looking himself is Sunil Chhetri. A brace against FC Pune City.
Overall, I thought in the Pune match, Bangalore was really accomplished. But they were made to look better than they were because Pune was just terrible. Their defense was all over the place. Bangalore probably should have scored more, but the score. Dimas, I always see this. If a fully fit Dimas is playing and he's not playing as a holding midfielder, which Eric was kind of sitting a little bit deeper, he is always going to run in behind the striker and provide you with an option. So he's a threat there. And the passes that he plays, the first pass for Chhetri's goal, that was a great pass. And then Miku showed his class with a very innocuous looking clearance, which he made just using strength. He made it into a chance and one phenomenal finish. So altogether, I think they played well. Pune, Alfaro was running around, no end product. Marcelinho wasn't there. The 2-3 chances they had, Gurpreet was immense in goalkeeping. So I think it was a pretty easy win for them. And Pune really, really need to solve the defensive issues, which is something Miguel Angel Portugal has dealt with in Delhi as well. So he really needs to shore up that part of the game.
Well, Nathan, coming to you, Pune's problems was not restricted to the Bengaluru game alone. A few days before that, they had their Maharashtra derby when they were up against Mumbai City FC. That game also did not go as per plan for Portugal, losing that tie 2-0.
Yeah, to be honest, Pune have been quite abysmal so far in this league campaign. I think Pune and Chennai have been the worst team so far. If you look at the game against Mumbai, they were pretty shambolic. Obviously, Marcelino didn't play the whole game, but even then, they were pretty toothless in attack and they barely created any meaningful chances. In defense as well, it was in complete shambles. Their goalkeeper wasn't doing them any favors. If you saw the first goal which Modu Sogo scored, Vishal Ket should have really done better with the cross from Pablo Morgado. He completely misjudged it. Ball hit the post, fell directly to Sogo to tap home the goal. So, all in all, very poor performance from Pune. Miguel Portugal, I don't think he's learned from his mistakes in Delhi. The defense with Delhi last season was abysmal. You look at Pune this season, it's even worse. And in attack as well, Alfaro doesn't seem to be coming up with the goals which he had last season. Marcinho, I know he just come back after suspension, but I thought he was pretty decent against Bangalore. He did have a few shots. He did create something of value for Pune, but looking at yesterday's game in particular, it felt like men versus boys, honestly. Miku just easily ran past their defenders without any proper challenges. Sunil Chhetri found gaping holes in their defense. So, yeah, you got plenty of problems for Pune going forward in the season.
Well, Nathan, that game between FC Pune City and Mumbai City FC also gave us a lot to talk about, something that we have loved talking about on Injury Time, refereeing howlers. Santosh Kumar, once again being the butt of the joke there. What do you make of the standard of refereeing in the league so far?
Well, it started off well. I think the first week, the referees were pretty good. They made some really good decisions. But for the second week, there were a couple of matches where the decisions made were quite poor. Especially in this Mumbai-Pune game, the penalty awarded to Mumbai in the last minute. I think it was Isoko who was fouled. So I think that was a blatant dive. It was so obvious. The way he fell down, it was so theatrical. And I can't believe the referee didn't spot that as well.
Clear daylight between the ball, the attacker and the defender. And the referee chose to give it as a penalty.
Yes, but ultimately justice was served. Vishal Ket made a splendid save of Lucien Govan's spot kick. But I think there was another game where the referee decisions were pretty questionable. But hopefully the standards improve as we progress into the season.
Well, that's a hope that we've been having for quite some time. Not only in the ISL, but in Indian football at large. We can still hope that refereeing standards in the country will go up as the time passes. Well, guys, that's all to discuss on this episode of Injury Time. But we are not done yet. We got a few questions from our listeners. Sandeep, you're up for this. Listeners have questions about the I-League, about the ISL and Indian football in general. Okay, Sandeep, coming to you first then. Abhinandan Mukherjee is asking, which team can be the dark horse this season in the I-League? Who's your pick, Sandeep?
Well, Orko touched on this earlier. Churchill Brothers and Chennai City for him. But, you know, last 3-4 years, we have seen these dark horses win. So, I don't know if it's the right thing to call them dark horses anymore. But I honestly cannot see anybody other than Bagan, maybe East Bengal, challenging for the title. The dark horses, I think I'll just go with what Orko said.
Again, trying consciously to get the name right.
Yes, because I am a Mallu, so that it doesn't come easily to me. So, yeah, but by and large, I think it's Bagan who's going to be head and shoulders above everyone.
All right, moving on. The next question. Nathan, this is for you. Do you think Miku is one of the best strikers in India today?
Yes, Tejas has got a very valid question, but a very easy question to answer as well. Without a shadow of doubt, Miku is one of the best, if not the best striker in the ISL at the moment. Just looking at yesterday's game, he was quite influential. So the one thing I like about Miku is it's not just the goals that he comes up with. He contributes a lot in attack as well. If you see his link-up play with Sunil Chhetri, they're able to bypass defenders quite easily and their link-up play is very influential to the side. So Miku, his finishing, his off-the-ball movement, I think that's what separates him from the rest of the strikers in the league. And yes, in my opinion, he is the best foreign striker in the league. With regards to the best overall striker, I would have to decide between Chhetri and Miku. But that's for another day.
Well, Bengaluru fans will be happy listening to this. Nathan has to decide between Chhetri and Miku, two guys who play for the same club. Okay, moving on. Sandeep, the next one's for you. This one comes from Ashwin the Gopinath. quite a long question this. He's asking, as a podcast, we discuss a lot about tactics in use. Which team do you think is playing chess this season while others are playing carom? Do you know what he's talking about?
Okay, I don't know how to answer that.
Well, it's all up to you.
Yeah. I personally enjoy watching Northeast the most this season because I think Elko Shatori, who previously had stints in India, most notably with East Bengal, and I remember covering that match when East Bengal came to Bangalore and played some 5 years ago. It was a good match, and he is quite underrated because he is a character, right? You know, waving his arms and the way he talks, you know, all those kind of things, and the quotes that he gives to the journalist, he's quite a character. But he's actually very tactically smart as well. And if you see those goals against Chennai, they've scored all kinds of goals. They scored one that went right through. They went one from the side. They had one where they won the second ball that was a winner from Rowling. So they do everything quite well. They have a spectacular striker who's just an absolute beast. He can run, he can, you know, control, he's strong, he's got everything in his locker. So I think I would say Northeast simply because they are the most interesting team for me to watch. I don't think they'll concede 3 goals like that again, which is not their kind of football.
Yeah, I would have to agree with that. So far, my favorite team has been Northeast, although I would... it's surprising because I'm from Chennai and they just beat Chennai quite comfortably. So, but having said that, Northeast have played some exceptional football. They got some really good players on show. You got Ogbeche. Borges is playing very well.
And there's a kind of sadness in your voice.
Yes, I know. Coming from a Chennai fan, it hurts me to say this, but you have to say it rude at times.
Also, the mentality of that team to go to Chennai, go 2-0 down, then go 3-1 down and then still come back, you know, equalize before the half time and then come back in the second half and beat them. And Chennai is not an easy place to go and win a match.
Yeah, it's pretty hot out there.
Yeah, that just takes the cake. I think that is by far the best performance or best match that we've seen in the league so far.
Okay, Naveen, we've got one last question for today and this is for you. Will I-League get more publicity than ISL if RKFC finish at the top of the points table? And this is coming from Naved Ahmed.
Okay, Naved, thanks a lot for that question. RKFC, I think he's mentioning there, is a real Kashmir FC, a team that is from Kashmir playing in the I-League this time round. Well, I hope I-League gets enough publicity because you don't often see a team from Kashmir playing on national television, do you? So this is something that I-League should make a lot of and try to get as much publicity as you can. But it all boils down to what the federation, what the league wants at the end of the day. Are they still mulling over the plan of going on with I-League being the premier domestic competition of the country? Or is ISL taking over like most of us think it would going down the line? It all depends on that. But having said that, this season, matches in Kashmir will be tremendously interesting to watch. Not only because of the climate and the weather that it provides, but also the craze that a game of football has in Kashmir. Of what I've heard from people who have travelled to Kashmir for games in the past, be it Santosh Trophy or be it any other football match, people do turn out in numbers. And the club management, the Real Kashmir club management, has done good enough job to get the stadium there up and running. So it would be interesting to see a full house when Real Kashmir plays their first home game in a few days' time. Before we wrap up, it's just ideal to just thank both our panelists. Nitin, thanks a lot for joining us in the second part of the show to discuss ISL.
Yeah, Naveen, thanks for having me over. It was a great pleasure talking about the ISL. Not so much about the I-League, but thanks anyway.
Sandeep, thanks a lot for staying with us throughout the show. It was great to hear from you on both I-League, ISL, and other aspects of the game in India.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I missed last week, so nice to be back.
Yes, nice to have you back. So guys, thanks a lot for being there throughout the journey. And until we get you the next episode of Injury Time next time round, have a great week and enjoy the game.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.